This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
What was the Holy Father's focus this morning at his Wednesday general audience?
Sure enough, right there in St. Peter's Square this morning, the Holy Father continued his discussion on discernment and what that means for the spiritual life. Today, he turned to some very serious topics, those of desolation and sadness that often accompany the spiritual life. So first of all, he looked to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Of course, as a Jesuit, this is something with which he is very familiar. And he talked about desolation as looked at through the lens of St. Ignatius. He defined it as a darkness of the soul, or a time of being without hope, without love, or when a person finds themselves feeling lukewarm or sad or even lazy, and it's as though they've been separated from their Creator and Lord. He said, of course, everybody has experienced some form of desolation. And he said that it's something that actually people shouldn't run from, but instead to stop and consider what can be learned from periods of desolation. And to do that, to ask God to know what He's trying to teach through these times. Now, today the Pope also spoke about the importance of remorse. And to understand that word better, he looked at the Italian word mordere, from which it comes, which means to bite. And he said that remorse is what one feels when the conscience bites, when it bites you, and it just doesn't allow you to have peace. And then from there, he went on to talk about sadness. Now, he called sadness an indispensable alarm bell for life. Now, why is that? Well, he looked to St. Thomas, and specifically the Summa Theologica, which defines sadness as a pain of the soul. So sort of like nerves for the body, sadness redirects a person's attention to a possible danger. And so he said that sadness is thus indispensable for health, and it protects people from harming themselves, from harming others. And it would be far more serious and dangerous if a person didn't feel sadness. So he said the key to all of this is not to let these things overpower you, but to learn from them and to push through them. Now, the Pope said today that in the spiritual life, all of these trials that come, especially during times of discernment, these are important moments, these trials, he said, because when you come to serve the Lord, you have to prepare yourself for trials. He was citing Sirach 2. And today, Pope Francis then concluded his remarks at the public papal audience with St. Paul's words that no one can be tempted beyond their ability because the Lord never abandons his people. And so that means that with his grace, a person can overcome any temptation, John.
This is a very a powerful exhortation by the Holy Father on discernment. It's interesting how he refers to Scripture. He refers to great saints like St. Ignatius and St. Thomas Aquinas. Very rich words by Pope Francis this morning.
Yes, and you know, really from a practical perspective as well, one thing that he noted and warned the faithful of is, he said, you know, be sure not to make major life decisions or even small decisions when you are feeling these times of desolation or sadness or remorse, whatever it may be. He said that wait for what's coming after that in order to make sure that your choices are done in the most prudent way possible.
Well, the Holy Father has been appealing for peace at the general audiences. Mm-hmm. He's been doing this for months and months. Yesterday at the Colosseum, he had yet another appeal for peace.
Yes, he did. And in fact, today at the audience, John, as you mentioned, he also made an appeal for peace specifically in the Democratic Republic of Congo after the attack there on the Mission Hospital. In fact, he said that you know, the world is watching in horror as these events are happening. He called that an unacceptable assault. And of course, especially decrying the deaths of the defenseless who were involved in that. And then, John, as you mentioned, yesterday there was a special event which took place at the Colosseum. So this was actually the 36th annual interreligious summit. And this is organized by the community of Sant'Egidio in Rome. It's an annual event that was launched by Pope St. John Paul II back in 1986. So leading up to this, last Sunday during the Angelus, of course, after the Pope prays the Angelus, he does give a special message as well to the world. And at that time, he talked about the importance of praying for peace. He called it the cry for peace. And so at this event, this was an opportunity where leaders from various religions around the world were able to get together and especially pray for peace. The Pope called for a universal ceasefire. And he also prayed for people who are suffering from war. He said that the people, the faithful, have to become the voices now of those who suffer and all of the victims. And he also called for dialogue, or recalling that after World War II, nations were able to mend those rifts of conflict through multilateral dialogues. Now, as far as some known names who were there as well, our president of Italy, Sergio Mattarella, was there. Also, French President Emmanuel Macron was there. In a private conversation, Pope Francis and Macron had a discussion, particularly focusing on the Caucasus region, on Ukraine, on the Middle East, and Africa. And in his message, the Pope said that it's the duty of Christians to help disarm hearts, as he said, and to call for reconciliation amongst peoples, John.
It's really interesting to see Pope Francis with all these other leaders, but none of those leaders are the vicar of Christ. So when Pope Francis speaks, especially in the Colosseum there in his hometown, it's got to weigh a lot on the minds of all of these other world leaders.
Yes, it certainly does. And the Colosseum itself is such an iconic place, the place where so many violent acts, activities, and games once took place. And of course, those are no more, at least not there. And so it really does have a very strong symbolism.
No question about it. Let's shift gears and talk about the world famous Euro Chocolate Festival. That sounds really, really yummy.
John, doesn't it make your mouth water? Absolutely. So imagine this. Imagine 14,000 square meters of chocolate and cocoa themed entertainment.
Wow.
So guided tastings, games, workshops. Also, of course, there's a huge chocolate emporium so that chocolate lovers from around the world can taste and buy little treats. So there's all kinds of fun activities to do at this event. It takes place in Perugia annually. And at the Euro Choco Fest, you can do things for like learn how to pick cocoa beans and then how to produce chocolate from it. There are cooking shows, chocolate cooking shows and demonstrations. There's a Choco parade. They have aerial dancers. They have a chocolate car, and it's all in a very classic Art Nouveau style. They have games. So imagine that a new game this year was created by a famous Italian chocolate designer, and he developed this little chocolate that you can hold it between your thumb and index finger. And when you put a quick pressure with your index finger, the idea is that you try to launch it right into your mouth. They're calling it chocolate saltimbocca. Now, you've probably heard of veal saltimbocca. You've probably even tried it before, John. But imagine that the words saltimbocca literally means jump in your mouth. And so that's what chocolate saltimbocca is all about.
Well, I tell you, the last time I was in Rome, chocolate gelato jumped in my mouth.
I imagine it did. It has that effect. It definitely does. Well, there's lots of chocolate gelato at this place too.
Oh my goodness. I can just imagine a chocolate heaven for chocolate lovers. What a great event.
Oh yeah, they have chocolate sculptures, and you know what? They even have a huge chocolate Italy. It's over 13 meters long, and so they create little icons of each of the most famous towns out of chocolate on this chocolate Italy. And then, John, of course, you have to finish your day with some cocoa pasta, or if you're not into pasta, you can always go with choco pizza. So quite an event.
Choco pizza.
Yeah.
I think I'll pass on the choco pizza. I'll stick to the
Yeah.
gelato.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right. Well, we've talked about this many times in the past. You know, Italians and the people of Rome know how to celebrate feasts of our saints. Coming up on Friday is the feast of Saints Simon and Jude. What's going on?
Yes. So, John, not many people realize that right there in St. Peter's Basilica are the remains of Saints Simon and St. Jude. So, there next to St. Joseph's altar is a special altar dedicated to Simon and Jude, and it's memorialized by two oval mosaics that represent the saints on either side of the altar there. So, this is just in the left transept of where the Blessed Sacrament is reserved at the St. Joseph's altar, for all of our listeners who have actually had the opportunity to visit and to pray there. And then, in addition to that, at the Church of San Salvatore in Lauro, now, by the way, this church is just west of Piazza Navona, and this is where they also hold some relics of Padre Pio. So it's also very visited for that purpose as well. But in addition to that is a small bone fragment from an arm of St. Jude. It's right there in a side chapel. So St. Peter's Basilica and the Church of San Salvatore in Lauro are two places where people will be making special pilgrimage on that day to venerate these great apostles, John.
And what are these two apostles best known for? Why do people come to venerate them?
Well, of course, you know, they have a particular closeness to Christ because they are considered to be relations of Christ himself. That Jude Thaddeus's father was Alphaeus, considered to be the brother of Saint Joseph. His mother, Mary Cleophas, was a cousin of Our Lady. And so that certainly is a very special thing. Saint Simon, he was the 10th apostle. He was named just before Saint Jude. And of course, we know that Saint Jude is known as the patron saint of the impossible. And I would say that all of us probably could come up with some impossible intentions that we could place at the feet of St. Jude, asking him to pray especially for these things, remembering that actually nothing is impossible before God.
Absolutely. And it's also great to know that those relics are there, right there in St. Peter's Basilica. And we can't forget that St. Peter himself, his relics, his bones are underneath the high altar. So it's such a special place.
Exactly. And this altar is very close to the high altar, and it's very close to the spot where the obelisk originally stood in Nero's circus. And tradition says that Saint Peter was martyred near to that obelisk. So we don't know the precise spot, but we know that it's very near to there, which means that the remains of these two faithful apostles are very close then to the spot where St. Peter himself met his death.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.